So, starting off here, a couple quotes here, and I'm not sure who this one was that put this in, but it says, don't look any further than your own reflection for a hero, because what that's saying and what I'm getting to is when I go through this is, you have the ability, every single one of us has Christ within us. And Christ told us that with us having the sacred secret and having the power that we have, that we are, every single one of us is eligible. You know, it's like the mustard seed. Any one of them could grow up to be a huge tree if it's tended to and taken care of. But we all have the same potential as well. So when we do that, we can fulfill that. We can bring that to pass. Lots of people limit their possibilities by giving up easily. They never tell yourself, this is too much for me, it's no use, I can't go on. If you do, you're licked. And by your own thinking, too. Keep believing and keep on keeping on. Which makes me laugh. I thought that was a Joe Dirtism. But that's Norman Vincent Peale saying that there. So to keep doing that. So that what we're going to do is I'm going to do a little sharing tonight about limitations and how limitations limit us or stop Yahweh's progress within us. Let's go to 2 Kings 6. And I didn't print out the cheat sheets here today. So whoever gets there first, call it out.
287.
I didn't even write my own tonight. Okay, 6, 1 through 7. And I'll go ahead and read this first one here as we get started there, page 387, starting in chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, see, we pray thee, and place wherein we were sit before thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, as far as to Jordan, and fetch from thee thence every man a single beam, and let us make a place wherein we may sit. And he said, go ye. Then said one, be content, we pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he said, I myself will go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down the wood. And it came to pass, as one of them was falling a branch, that the axe head fell into the water. So he made outcry and said, alas, my lord, for it was borrowed. And the man of Elohim said, where it fell? Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a piece of wood and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. And he said, take it up to thee. So he put forth his hand and took it. So what they were doing is they were enlarging their territory. They were going to enlarge their territory because, you see, back in the very beginning, it's too straight for us. It's too confined. They're expanding out. They're expanding out, and they're doing it righteously. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And as they go to do this, the axe head falls off, it goes in the water, and I think to myself, you know, Christ read these scriptures. And so when Christ walks on water, a miracle had already happened with the water. Something had come up. Now, you think about that with a person. A person standing on water, we're mostly water to start with. That's what we're mostly made of. You're talking about an iron head. So this was a miraculous thing. It was a big thing. So when Yahushua read this, he could see the same thing. And I think about that. I'm like going, was this? When we put limitations on ourselves, Yahweh is limited. When we say anything can happen, well, how could that happen? How could something that sank this iron float back up to the top? That is impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And on top of that, you throw a piece of wood over and that attracts it.
Yeah.
Well, it's no different than when miracles would take place and Yahweh would tell them to do it. One person, he could just call the miracle and say it. Another one, they would have to do some kind of a routine. Well, why? It doesn't matter why. The fact is, this is what took place to make that happen. And so the piece of wood made the iron float up to the top. Yeah, a huge miracle. And so when we see this, this was a limitation. Because here we see that the distraction that could have taken place. If they, oh my gosh, we're done. Now we all focus on something different. Everybody get into the river and let's try to find this axe head. Okay? And so it's a distraction. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Darby, what are you doing? Okay, we all have unique strengths and talents. Would you call her down, Donna, please?
Darby.
She's aware of. We all have unique limitations. Yeah. And so in the body of Christ, what we see is you're going to see people who have different powers in different things, or they specialize in different things. One person might be able to, prophesy, give personal prophecy where it might be more impactive to somebody, possibly, where somebody says, this guy's really good with this. Or another person for healings or for discernment, these types of things. People have different talents. We all have the same spirit that we're able to do this. We all have unique limitations. And so when I look at it, if I say my limitations are such, and I normally don't verbalize those to people, I probably should, but if I said my limitations are these, and another person, well, that's just foolish. How can that be? Well, because you have different limitations. And so Yahweh works with what he has with the people. But at the same point, he goes, your limitations are your limitations. They are not my limitations. You limit me through your limitations. But I empower you and embolden you that you can do everything. Everything. And so this is where we look at it and say, okay, well, if somebody's having a problem in one area, we don't all come down on them. We help the person. We get to it. But we all have unique strengths. We all have unique limitations. I have a picture of a 747 here. This is the first class section of a 747. And the reason why I did that is because when we were flying the other day, it kind of struck me when you're listening to it. Now, we're in the back of the airplane, which... I guess the closer to the middle portion of it to the back. And so as we're going in there, they're doing it by groupings, and it's real annoying because I'm watching all these people. It's like in the movie Office Space. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but when they're passing around the cake, and the one guy's looking, and he keeps checking the plate to see how much cake is left, and it's all passing around. He's so worried he's not going to get any. And it happens that he does. It ends up where he doesn't get any. But as I'm walking in there, and I'm looking at all these people dragging their bags in there, and I'm like going, there's going to be no overhead storage. I'm going to have all my junk in front of my feet, and that just irks me. And we get in the airplane, and I'm like, there's plenty of space. I mean, just wide open. So I put my stuff in there, like, oh, good, worried about nothing. Get in there, sit down, and I kind of, you know, just kind of visually look around a little bit. And then they start their announcements, and I'm listening, and nobody pays attention to it. I'm sure a lot of people travel often, so they're used to hearing these. But one of the things that really stuck out to me is, your closest exit might be behind you. Well, how would you know that? How would you know that it's behind you unless you paid attention and you're looking around to see where it is? You could have an exit right behind you, and then an emergency and a crisis, all you do is you see what's in front of you right here, and your own senses are distracting you from what is right next to you. And so I start thinking about that. I'm like, all these people on here, and I'm like going, for crying out loud, look back there. Okay, there's the exits, there's this. And it was important to know that. Our airplane within my squadrons, we had multiple times where we had to evacuate an airplane. One time they actually had to pull the slides to get out of the airplane. Okay, this is where you start paying attention, and you're like going, okay, not very common, but it happened two times within my time of flying.
What does that mean? Slides.
The slides, that means you open the door and you pull it, and the slides inflate, okay, and you actually jump into the slide down. And so it's an emergency, and so knowing where they're at, and knowing that if you're in water, which ones you open and which ones you don't. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't open the back ones. You don't open the back doors if you landed in water, because the plane is already tail heavy. And so if you do that, you're going to flood the airplane. You'll make it sink faster. So all these things, nobody pays attention. Now we're flying over the water. Donna says she does. So as I'm listening to that, though, the thing that stuck to me was that your closest exit might be behind you. And I'm like going, absolutely. Yahweh may be saying to us, hey, your closest exit is right here. Hop on. Get out. Pull out of this thing here. You went in a wrong direction. Something happened, and I'm giving you a path out, and it's behind you. Instead of having to treble all through everything and work yourself around, you may have to go backwards. So I've had many prophecies that says, don't look to the left, to the right. Don't look behind you. And I'm like, well, that's specific to something. But Yahweh may say, hey, I've got it. I've got you covered. And be observant to what's around you so that I may be able to call you. So that's why that's on there. The story starts with the sons realizing they needed to expand their territory. They asked permission of the prophet Elisha to go enlarge their territory. Remove the things that obstruct our view of Yahweh. All that he has made available to us, he can do for us. So when they get the approval, when we get the approval for something, say, even in vacation, you're going on vacation, and we say, hey, we prayed about this, and Yahweh says, you're good to go. And then all of a sudden you're like going, there's a hurricane bearing down on the place we're going. Golly, did we miss it? I'm like going, here's an idea. Let's cancel it. Let's not cancel the trip. Let's cancel the hurricane. Let's redirect the hurricane. Yeah. Do we have the authority to do that? Absolutely. Is that a distraction to us when we got permission? Absolutely it is. It's a limitation. And so if we said, all right, fine, we'll just stay here, we won't go, then guess what? Well, the hurricane comes, you know, not a major loss except a little bit of money, a little bit of time. But Yahweh's standing out saying, this is a distraction. You asked for permission, you got it.
Yeah.
Okay? So fix whatever's in between. Here's a hurdle. Here's something that came in between. Let's get it taken care of. All right. The decision. A couple things we're going to go through here as I do this little sharing. two main points. And the first one is the decision. And this is where it comes down to me deciding, do I take the cards as they're dealt to me and just go through life just, well, whatever happens, you know, a little push here, a little shove there, and I end up okay. I always end up butter side up, you know, as I hear some people say. Or do I make the decision that, guess what? If I'm walking in light, I'm doing what Yahweh says, that I'm going to change the things that come before me if I am walking in light and something distracts and is trying to pull away from what Yahweh's told me to do or given me permission. And see, this is another thing that I see a lot of times. Somebody feeling, okay, I am supposed to go. Yahweh told me to go do this thing. Okay? And then something happens and people are like going, maybe I missed it. Well, that's a possibility. Or maybe there's something else taking place that's going on that's like, hey, don't let this be a stop. The same way, though, if we get permission to go and Yahweh says, you're cleared to go. Okay, we still can go and we still cancel those things out. The decision is, do I take it as it's dealt or do I make the changes? Okay, enlargement of our territory begins with enlarging our view. Our view of who we are. Again, looking in the mirror, that we are the hero. We're the hero. If we saw ourselves the way that Christ sees us, the way that Yahweh sees us, there's no limitation. Zero limitation. And so that's where we have to change our view. We enlarge our view. Yahweh has given us everything that pertains to life, but we limit it because of our perceptions, how we see ourselves or we perceive. And when we fall or when we stumble, it breaks us to where we're like going, golly, I really am worthless. I really can't do this. I really am weak. Okay, might be weak in an area, and guess what? Can it be changed? Can all those things be made different? Yahweh wants to enlarge our territories, but until we desire it and make the decision towards achieving an enlargement, it's not going to happen. It's not just going to take place. We have to make that decision. I am going to stand out, and I am going to stop the things. I'm going to stop the distractions, the limitations. I will put zero limitations on what Christ can do with me for the body. Yahweh desires for us to walk in the fullness that He's released to us. Through Christ, we have been given the authority. None of us are short of the authority. And in John 10:10, the thief cometh not save that he may thieve, slay, and destroy. I came that life they might have and above measure might have. Okay? And so the question we have to ask is, are we living in that above measure life? Are we having that? Or are we dealing things as they come? You know, the daily blows come. All the things happen. I was sharing a testimony with a client the other day about, you know, how Don and I we'd be so broke for so many years. And then we'd get a little bit of money and get a little bit ahead. And then the hot water heater would go out. And everything that we just got to get back a little bit ahead now has to go for it. And I was like, golly, what is wrong? Am I doing something wrong that, you know, we get a little bit ahead, you know, one step forward, two step back mentality. And now I'm finally one step back, and it was Yahweh telling me, I've provided for you. Gee, you know, instead of being miserable and you know, poor woe is me, I'm like going, thank you, Yahweh, a thankfulness, a gratitude that this has now been met, my needs have been met, because guess what, had he not met those needs, I would have been out 500. I probably would have had to take a short loan or something to go get out. What are you? 500 bucks was a lot of money back in those days. I mean, it still is, but it was a lot back then. So this is where we look at that above measure. So are we living that? Is our attitude, is our perception? Are we standing out saying, whatever comes along, I will deal and I will take care of it. And I'm not going to let those things stop or hinder me.
Have it. Keep talking.
Mm-hmm. John 8:36. Okay, I have a few scriptures on there, so I'm reading some of these. John 8:36. If then the Son shall make you free, really free shall ye be. Okay? And so, again, Christ paid for it. Christ paid the way. He paid the cost for us. It's the sin. It's the sin that was paid for that we may be able to have the authority. It's been given down to us, as Christ says, that you can do all these things and more. Well, guess what? What have I done more than Christ? Okay? And I'm like going, I've limited him. I have. And so I'm like going, but you know what? I stood here. And all these little things that happened that took place, I look at them like, hey, as I look back, I see a path of things that I've done that lead me on that path to Christ. And so I'm the same way. I'm like, well, come on, this is it. Make that. Am I above measure life? And that's my question I have to ask all the time. Am I living above? Am I having that, or am I just getting by? Well, I live in a free country. Everything's pretty good and hunky-dory. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about pushing it, getting rid of the limitations to where something happens, and you're like going, hey, well, you know, today I rescued somebody from a car, resuscitated them, the person received, got a healing. feeling, and, you know, we both went in our way, and everything was a great day. What'd you do today? You know, and this is where we look at, to where we say it every day, to above measure life. Make the decision to have freedom from all limitations. That's where when we say, we look at our own eyes, and we look at physics and science. And science is very interesting, but science is a mind maze, if you will. It ties us up. Well, you can't do that. That's not possible through science. Okay, and that's true. If a person says that, that goes against this law, this principle in this law. Okay, Yahweh made those principles and laws. They belong to Him. I belong to Yahweh. Guess what? If I want to tap into one of those laws that says, I'm going to defy this law of gravity, or this law of fire, or this law of whatever, guess what? Yahweh's not going, somebody's calling on me for this. Are you kidding me? Look what somebody's saying they're ready to do. Can I do it? Absolutely. Everybody here can. So this is part of Yahweh's plan for all of us. This we can do by desiring our enlargement without limitations and making decisions towards it. Second part is the determination. The determination, the first part is saying, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand out. I'm making the decision to do it. The determination is how we're going to do it. So never allow repeated failures and defeats to prevent you from progressing. Okay? This is where those trips and those stumbles really, you know, now you're bleeding a little bit. You're like going, okay, what did I do wrong? What did I miss? Why is my body dying? Why is this not operating correctly? Why aren't these things doing the things they're supposed to be doing? And I'm like going, well, it's not Yahweh's fault, and Yahweh didn't do this for a purpose to me, okay? But guess what? He's made it available for me to make those changes. And so why aren't those changes being made? Is it Yahweh that's not making those changes, or is it me saying, I'm going to make the decision and determination, I'm going to make those changes, and I'm going to speak these things into happening? If you have passion and the vision to enlarge your territory in Yahweh, you will not allow any limitations or hindrance. Let's flip over to Micah 7. And call out a page once we get there, if somebody would, please.
A89.
Micah 7, verse 8. And I'll let one of the children read this one here. Page 889. Thank you, Andy.
Keep going.
7, verse 8.
889. No pressure.
You're all right. Okay, go ahead. Verse 8, please.
Do not rejoice, O mine enemy, against me. Though I fall, I shall rise again. Though I sit in darkness, Yahweh is a light to me.
That's it. Wow. That's it. And so this is a powerful one when you're like, okay, I'm defeated, but what's going on? Do not rejoice, my enemy. Okay? And that's a bold statement to your enemy. Don't rejoice in thinking that you won this battle. As I look in my flesh and it's not cooperating correctly, I said, don't rejoice, enemy, that you have won, because I sit in the light with Yahweh. Okay? And that's the Yahweh is a light unto me. Yahweh is not limited by time, space, or boundaries. And so when we look at this, a lot of times, again, we put our own thinking and our own science into the reasoning and the rationale of what can and can't be done. And so people will explain things that they can't, well, this is just what, you know, everything happens for a purpose, and this is what you're supposed to be. Yahweh's in control. Yahweh's in control. And as we're going to go through here and see this, I'm going to show you some scriptures that's going to counter that. The Yahweh saying, look, I have given it all available to you. Come partake. The table is set. If you don't come to it, you don't eat. Okay? I want you to. I'm calling you to, and I've made it available to you at a high cost, but you have to come to it and you have to take it. And so this is it. We don't have the time or the space or the boundaries. We do that Yahweh does not. And when we tap into that, we partake. He has solutions for every problem. Never confused or dumbfounded by the issues of life. Okay, has seen everything happen over and over and over again. Now for us, we look at it, yeah, but it's happening to me, for crying out loud. Well, Yahweh knows. He knows what's happening. He knows what's taking place, and He has a resolve for you. And a lot of times you're like going, have you read my words? Okay, you'll find a really good example of that and what you need to do. Okay, the first thing is, hey, let's just become obedient. Let's just do what we're supposed to in the meantime while we figure this whole thing out. There's a fullness of grace, favor, authority, and blessings in Yahweh. But many will not break through their limitations to enjoy these blessings because they haven't made the decision. Or, probably the biggest one is, they feel that they're incapable of, or that they don't have the authority, or the power, or the wherewithal to do it. Okay? And that's a major problem. That's a huge limitation. Breaking through the limitations, enjoying the blessings that Yahweh has for you. And here's how we do it. Here's the first one. Have the faith of Yahweh and not in man. Okay, and Aaron's teaching last week, and we've gone over this before. It's not the faith in Yahweh, it's the faith of Yahweh. Now, it's specific to that, because when we say that, when Yahweh tells us we can do these things through His Son, okay, it's not just a misprint or something else like that. Have the faith of Yahweh. When we look at what Yahweh did and what He created, and we look around and see these things, it should encourage us and enlighten us, saying, holy cow, if I have the faith of Yahweh, look what He did, look what He created, and everything that He has done. And if I tap into that, what am I capable of? What am I capable of? I'm like going, what does the Word say?
Yeah.
Everything. Overcome all doubts about promises Yahweh has revealed to you. So Yahweh gives us a prophecy or tells us something that we're to do, and it happens. And it's happened to me before too. I'm just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Not really probable. Not really probable. And I'm like going, what kind of crap and garbage is that?
Yeah.
You know? Well, yeah. Yahweh's gonna be like, well, yeah, with that kind of attitude, you're right. You want to say it's not gonna happen? It's not gonna happen. And so it's the time to do that. Where you say, don't get rid of those doubts. The promises have been made to us, the promises that we've been told. Be determined to endure. That's the other thing, is while we're waiting, I think about that over and over and over again. When I went through this and was preparing this, I was thinking about Daniel. And I was thinking, in a lion's den through the night. It's dark. You know, you feel something furry rub up against you, and you're just like going, oh boy. And then I think to myself, were the lions laying around him, around his feet? Staying warm off of his body.
Probably.
But at the same point, I'm like going, he is completely in the dark. And he is going through this. And we've been like going, Yahweh, how about you just pull me out of here real quick? I know you can do it. Take me out of here. And guess what? That is possible. That is absolutely possible. Okay? And so with this, how it took place, well, guess what? In this particular instance, he stayed the entire night in there with him. And so, not a big deal, but at the same point, I'm like going, no limits, no limits. Be determined to endure. It sometimes doesn't happen right away. And so as a person hangs on, they're going to see it. And that's why I put in here right there, sometimes it happens in the fourth watch of the night.
Yeah.
Okay? And it does. It happens in the fourth watch. And so when we give up, you think about this, how many times we've probably given up moments before it comes. Yeah. And so you're like going, golly, hang in there, because it's coming. It's coming. Be obedient and undistracted. And this is the biggest thing. And that's why I use the scripture in the beginning. What was the axe head falling off? Okay?
Distraction.
It was pretty much the end of that group cutting down trees. I mean, you're not going to do it by your hands. Okay? And so without that, well, I guess we just go back and we put up with what we have and what we're living with, and everything will be fine. We'll just do that. It was a distraction. It was not Yahweh doing it for a purpose. Hey, throw the axe head off so I can do this cool little thing. It was the people outside that it says, we are not going to allow this to end this way. As the sons were enlarging their territory, a big distraction occurred, could have completely stopped their pursuit. Obedient and undistracted. The snare that holds so tight, we feel we are at the end of our rope. Interesting thing that you always hear at the bitter end. It's a nautical term for when they used to measure things. When somebody would go overboard, they would throw them the rope. And the last knot, between the last knot and the end, there was no knot. And that was called the bitter end. Okay, and that's how they referred to it. It was a bitter end just because there was nothing on it. It was just the end of the rope. It was their bitter end. No, there's no more. But this is what it is. The snares that hold us to where we feel like we are captivated. Maybe it's something we've lived with for so long that we're just accustomed to and used to it, that we're just like going, I just guess I have to live with that. Okay, and you can do that, but the thing is, Yahweh's made it available. When your heart is broken, your dreams are shattered, your hopes have been trampled, when you feel like you're in a wasteland with no way out, the axe head was recovered, the lost hope was restored, the goal was resumed, and the lost ambition was rediscovered. Yahweh cares for you and delights in the impossible, and that's the big thing, the stress in that. What happens from this is a story that I think, Christ read this, and he's like going, wow, isn't that cool? Christ reading about this axe head coming to the top of the surface, and he's like going, Father, what a wonderful testimony, what a wonderful statement. And I think to myself, Yahweh loves for that. He wants for this to happen. Show me where I can be strong. Show me where I can do this. Give me the opportunity. I'm ready to go in. Put me in the ring. Give me the tag. I'm ready to do this. And that's what he wants. For is touching Yahweh, seeing that his eyes are ever running to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong with them who are perfect towards himself. And that's it. He is looking for the opportunities. And there's lots of opportunities for us that we have to be able to stand up and say, okay, even if we fail, and you stand out there calling for the axe head to come up, and your neighbors are like going, yeah, maybe get a metal detector or something, and you still keep doing it. Same way with me and this tree out here. I went out there and laid hands on a tree.
With Aaron.
Do you see what's out there right now?
Yeah.
It's growing back. The tree's growing back in my front yard. It was dead. There was nothing alive on it. And one branch came back, and it lasted for about 6 months. And Aaron made this for me here for as a testimony. Okay, guess what? The tree's dead. It fell down. I had to cut it down. After I did all these things, I'm like going, okay, what did I miss? How did I do this? But me standing up and doing this is a testimony to say, Yahweh's like going, even though it didn't happen, okay, because of my faith or what took place, thank you for standing out and doing that. Are you kidding me? What a great thing for you to do that. You believe that you could do this, and you can.
The tree that we thought we were going to come back was not the tree.
Yeah, what's growing right with it.
It's the roots of the tree.
Yeah, it's coming up. And so I'm like going, you know, again, like I said, that's where when Yahweh sees us doing that, when we make the decision to stand out and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do these things. This is impossible. You're going to go out there and speak to a tree. You're going to go out and speak to a dead animal on the side of the road. And everybody else, what's the world tell you? You're cuckoo. You're crazy. Okay, Yahweh's, give me the opportunity.
That little axe head over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a great testimony. Great testimony. I was pondering over that as I went through this today, too, with your testimony, Shauna, on that, how great that is to tell those things. Because what that does, think about that with Christ reading that story and what that does to him and what he goes through his mind. What happens where he's like going, okay, got you. Taken, no taken. Okay, of all the things before of Abraham and Isaac, as he looks through there and he goes, I see the symbolism. I see what's in the Word. I see where this applies to me and all these different things. And so by virtue of that, us telling those stories, even when we don't hit it right on the head, we're like going, yeah, I did this. I sat down and did this. It didn't kind of quite work out the way I wanted, but I will do it again. I will come back and I'll do it again. Yeah. Okay, whoops, I kind of missed one here. We're supposed to be in Jeremiah 32. I talked my way all the way through it. So go to Jeremiah 32.
753.
Thank you.
Ish.
53-ish.
Jeremiah 32. All right, yes, it is. 32. We're going to be 15, it looks like 752, 15 through 17, and if somebody would read that for me, please.
4. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of Israel, again shall houses and fields and vineyards be brought in this land. Then prayed I unto Yahweh, after I delivered the scroll of purchase into Baruch, son of Neri, saying, Alas, my Lord, Yahweh, Lo, thou thyself did make the heavens and the earth by thy great might and by thy outstretching arms. There is nothing too wonderful for thee, executing loving kindness unto thousands, but recompensing the dignity of fathers into the bosom of their children after them. Thou El, the might of the great, the mighty, Yahweh of hosts is his name.
Excellent. And that's it. And that's what I say. How wonderful. Is there anything that Yahweh can't do? And that's how we should look. And that's how when we make that decision and that determination, is there anything that Yahweh can't do? Okay. Now, it has to be in the name of righteousness. We can't be like going, well, I want you to put a Mercedes in my yard. You know, and that's not saying that can't be done, but just to because it's for our own benefit or our own purpose, we have to look at that and understand. But there's nothing, everything Yahweh's been able to create. And does Yahweh want to give to us and bless his children? Yeah. Absolutely. What he wants to give to us, he's not being allowed to because of our limitations of us asking, not asking for it, and us not standing up and taking hold of that authority and that power. We do. We're doing it a lot more than about a lot of other people do, but it's always there. Okay, what's next? Because no declaration from Elohim shall be void of power. Void from Yahweh shall be void of power. When Yahweh makes that declaration, okay, There's power with that. But then at the same time, people are like going, well, what about all those things where all those things happen to them? Distractions. Those are the things that come between, where something comes between to stop that. And boy, if you fall prey to that, you missed it. You missed it all. Or you say, BS.
Yeah.
Out of my way. Stand behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Do all these things. Cancel the storm. Call for the things. Get to somewhere. Feeding of the 5,000 with nothing. All these things that are, okay, here's a limitation. Well, let's see what's pondered. Let's just take care of it. We'll just speak it. Okay? We'll just speak it. And this is it. No declaration is void of power. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. Again, if somebody will call it out once they get to it. Now we have here, it's going to be on 242.
242.
I think. Yes, 6 through 11, and if we can split that up, if one of the children wants to read it, or half of it with the children and half with an adult. 5, 6 through 11.
I think.
Yes, 242. Okay, why don't you read the first three verses, sweetheart, and then we'll let an adult read the rest, okay? Is everybody there? Okay, we're good. Go ahead.
This is 2 Peter.
Yeah, on page 242?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, start in verse 6.
Be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of God, Yahweh, that he may lift you upon the due time. All you amaze
anxiety,
casting upon him, because he careth for you. Be sober, be watchful, so your
slanderous
adversary,
adversary,
a roaring lion, is walking about seeking its devour.
To devour. Elijah, you want to read 9 through 11?
Okay. Whom resist steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings in your brotherhood that is in the world are being accomplished. Howbeit, the God of all favor, who hath called you unto his age abiding glory in Christ, when for a little ye have suffered himself with a just confirm strengthen. Unto him be the domination unto the ages. Amen.
That's it. Okay. Very good. Thank you. So as we go into it there, our problems, while they may appear insurmountable, are just opportunities for Yahweh to show himself. Again, remember the scripture that Yahweh's looking forth to and fro to show himself, to show himself. And so what that means is Yahweh will show himself when somebody says, I'll speak your words. I'll speak it. I'll do it. I will do those things. And so Yahweh's like going, thank goodness, you got it. The ball's yours. Pass him the ball. It's to you right now. And this is where we have to look and say, Yahweh's waiting for somebody to do it. Yahweh's, when we see that, why is he searching to and from? If Yahweh's in control, why is he to and from to show himself? Okay, he doesn't have to do that. He can show himself strong whenever he wants. He needs people to say, I will do it, and I will speak those things, and I will raise those, and I will do those opportunities. John 9, 1 through 4.
What's John?
It's the gospel, if you will. 9. Okay, we're going to be on page 103. And I'll read this here, verses 1 through 4 of page 103, which is John 9, 1 through 4. And this is where I've heard a couple teachings about this, and it's kind of an interesting thing, because there's, I think that people misunderstand this healing in the scripture. So starting in 9 verse 1 and going through 4, and passing along he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples questioned him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that blind he should be? Now, this is the wrong perception, but in this, people are looking at it like, whose fault is it? Whose fault is this? And so when we look at it, and we look at our own dead flesh, we're like, well, this is my fault, this is because of this, because of that, because of this, and blah, 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 blah. And we rationalize everything down to where we just deserve this. This is just ours, you know? Well, yeah, my father was born this way, therefore I'm born this way. You know, this is the way I was raised. This is my culture. All those things are now, they're distractions, they're limitations, okay? So that's what they're asking. Whose sin was this? And Yahushua answered, neither this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of Yahweh should be made manifest in him. Now, I claim here that there should be a comma there and no verse 4. That verse 4 is part of verse 3. Okay? Jesus answered, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of Yahweh should be made manifest in him. We must needs be working the works of him that sent me. Okay? There's no break in there. This is the same clause. He's not saying, well, we need to do this. He says, but manifest in him, comma, we must needs be working the works of him that sent me. In other words, quit looking at this of whose sin this is. And this needs to be taken care of. This is the opportunity to have this done. And so it was a really good teaching on that, that basically the punctuation was of man. That was in there. As it's the concept of manifest in him. Man in him. Okay. We must need working the works of him that sent me. So in other words, he's sending me to do this. And that's all that there is to that. There's no whose fault is this, and let's sit around and debate why, and then people will come up with a rationale. Well, maybe this kid deserves it. Maybe he just deserves this, okay? And no, Yahweh's claiming against that. He's going against that. So, I have a little thing here that I'm going to have you read, Wendy, if you wouldn't mind for me, please. This is a true story. Maybe my voice is a little resting. You have a good reading voice.
Like now?
Yeah.
Brenda was a young woman who was invited to go rock climbing. Although she was scared to death, she went with her group to a tremendous granite cliff. In spite of her fear, she put on the gear, took hold on the rope, and started up the face of that rock. Well, she got to a ledge where she could take a breather. As she was hanging on there, the safety rope snapped against Brenda's eye and knocked out one of her contact lenses. She was on a rock ledge with hundreds of feet below her and hundreds of feet above her. Of course, she looked and looked and looked, hoping it had landed on the ledge, but it just wasn't there. Here she was, far from home, her sight now blurry. She was desperate and began to get upset, so she prayed to Yahweh to help her find it. When she got to the top, a friend examined her eye and her clothing for the lens, but there was no contact lens to be found. She sat down despondent with the rest of the party, waiting for the rest of them to make it up the face of the cliff. She looked out across range after range of mountains, thinking of that Bible verse that says, "The eyes of Yahweh run to and fro throughout the whole earth." And she thought, "Yahweh, you can see all these mountains. You know every stone and leaf, and you know exactly where my contact lens is. Please help me." Finally, they walked down the trail to the bottom, and at the bottom, there was a new party of climbers just starting up the face of the cliff. One of them started out, "Hey, you guys, anybody lose a contact lens?" Well, that would be startling enough. But you know why the climber saw it? An ant was moving slowly across the face of a rock, carrying it. Brenda told about how her father is a cartoonist. When she told him the incredible story of the ant, the prayer, and the contact lens, he drew a picture of an ant lugging that contact lens with the words, "Yahweh, I don't know why you want me to carry this thing. I can't eat it, and it's awfully heavy, but if this is what you want me to do, I'll carry it for you." We need to remember these words when we're asked to do something that we feel is just too heavy for us to do and or carry. "Yahweh, I don't know why you want me to move this. I can see no good in it. And it's awfully heavy, but if you want me to move it, I will."
Yeah. And so that's a true story. It was neat because she told that to a pastor and he wrote that. And when I'm going through this, I pull that up and I'm looking for examples of you know what we're talking about. I'm like going, and it made me laugh because we just saw Ant-Man yesterday. And so I started laughing. I'm like going, how funny is that? But what I saw with that is the two things. The first was the decision. The decision was, I know that it's there. Yahweh, you know everything that's out there. You know where this contact lens is. Now, the normal person will look at that and say, It's gone. If it is not on me, it's gone. The wind could have grabbed it, anything else. It is just gone. It's completely gone.
Think about us finding a retainer out in Lowell's camp.
Yeah.
That fell in the leaves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I think about money that was found.
Clear.
Somebody.
Retainer.
I think you, Chuck, that told me that you, was it you that did that? Was it stopped and there was like a $20 bill? Maybe it was somebody at that camp. I can't remember it when we went to it. But they're telling me they're like going that they were short of money and they prayed for Yahweh to do it. And they got out of the car and they're right off the side. There was a $20 bill.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there you go. Okay, perfect timing. But with that, the first thing was the decision. The decision that it's not gone. Okay, it's not gone. The determination was that she's praying, Yahweh, you know where it's at. Show me. That's a determination saying, it is findable. It's a clear, small, teeny piece of thing that could be anywhere as I'm climbing up this mountain. But Yahweh knows where it is, and I'm counting on you to show me where that is. Okay, that's a determination. And then get down there at the bottom, and here, the ways they found it is an ant actually moving across a rock. And that's how they saw and spotted it. And you're like going, holy cow, is that incredible? Yes! And Yahweh's like going, okay, who's got something else for me? Let me show myself strong. Let me show myself. Let me show you what I can do for my children. If you would have just been like, okay, and that would have been me, I think of myself and my limitations. Fella, I'm like going, doggone it. There's $40 down the drain. Son of a gun, I can't believe this. Okay, I'm not going to go out to dinner tomorrow. And all these thoughts would be running through my mind versus the decision. The decision saying, no, this is possible. The determination, we're going to do this. Yahweh, you show me what to do. And I'm holding out. Now, why wasn't it up on top? Or why didn't she get there and she find it where it was attached to her clothes? Okay? I don't know. This is kind of, again, where I say sometimes it's the fourth watch of the night. She went all the way to the top. When she was halfway up, she went to the rest of the way, and all the way down, and it was when she was down that they found it. Which is remarkable, because the chances of that, I mean, you could probably throw something pretty large off the top of there that's highly visible and still not find it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so by virtue of that, this is where Yahweh is showing himself strong. To overcome our limitations, you need to make the decision, be determined to succeed. Refuse the distractions that prevent you from reaching your destinations by trusting Yahweh to intervene, and walk out in faith, and remember that the risk is worth taking. Even when we're doing these things and we're standing out and we're practicing and saying, we'll do it, and we fail, you're bringing a smile to Yahweh that you're willing to do it. You're like going, I believe I can, and I'm going to try doing this. And Yahweh's like, encourage you, keep doing it, keep going, keep coming back, keep coming back. Okay, don't be distracted by the losses there. In closing here, let's go to Romans 15:13, and I'll read this here. We're going to be on page 164, actually 163, the bottom of 163. Romans 15, verse 13. Everybody there? 163, the bottom right corner, verse 13. Now the Elohim of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that ye may surpass in the hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's it. That's the closing there. So I'll go ahead and finish out this. Just to, like I said, remember that even as we come up with short fall, the first thing that has to happen is when you're in need of some of these things, that you make the determination, what is available, what is not available. Even what seems impossible is not impossible. Remember, with Christ, okay, what did he say? Christ said that in Mark and Luke, that with Yahweh, all things are possible. All things are possible. And so we have to change our mentality and our perceptions. So I'll go ahead and close here. Yahweh, we thank you for this opportunity to go through your word. We thank you for everything that you've given and laid before us. We thank you, Christ, for paying the price for us, that we may now have the authority and be sealed and be the temple of Yahweh that is sealed within us. And so we thank you for that we hold this dear, that we stand out looking for the places and the opportunities to swing this authority, to use this authority, to speak this authority. We thank you for that in every opportunity that we're recalculating, even when we miss that you remind us, hey, there was a great chance for you to do this. Okay, be ready next time. Be ready next time that when this comes up, that you're ready to speak it and do these things. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for blessing all those who are not here with us this evening, for the healings in all those that we've been praying and interceding for. We thank you for the comfort and the guidance that we are able to stand up and stand in the gap and speak the things that you would have us speak, and lay on the hands and speak the healings for the people who are in need, that we are the hands and feet of you, Christ, and that you are our head, and this is well pleasing unto you to do these things. And what you would be doing if you were during your walk on this earth before you went to the right hand of our Father. So we thank you that we are now the body, that we are directed by you, and so we do these things through you, Christ. And so we thank you for the words that you put upon us, for a great week for all of us, and we thank you for the new life within this family, for the blessings within her, and just a wonderful prosperity, and just a great testimony that is to be shared for generations. We thank you for all this, and speak this through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, come before me as I have called you unto this banquet that I have spoken to you before, knowing that I have made available the things for you, that I have sat you at this table, for I am at the right hand. My Son is at the right hand of me, and because of him, he has made available that you are seated with him. You are seated. You are fellow heirs of him. You are sons and daughters of mine through him. So do not be afraid to be bold and stand out and speak the words that I call you to as a seed is blown off of a plant and drifts off to something and maybe lands on a bird or lands on an animal and is carried far away. I put these all in place that I am able to put new seeds out, new growth out, and I do this through you and calling for you to do this, that you are to come to harvest, and that this harvest is for you to displace the seeds that I have given to you, that you carry those about and you spread these out all over the world as you go, as you travel, as you everywhere you move. Think of yourself as a shaker that as it's being shook, that the seeds are falling out and being distributed everywhere you walk. Where the people see you, they will see these seeds, they will see this growth and this planted, that I put this in before you, that I may be able to run the harvest. Do not tend to these things, because these are for me to tend once you have distributed these things. But know that as you plant these, that there will be some that will harvest, and the some that will be brought forth fullfold. And so do what I have called you to do, and put everything else behind, that as you are obedient and trusting in me, that I will lead you to great paths and greener pastures. Amen.